So any of you who have been around for a while will know that the full name of our mission is St. John of Shanghai and St. Nina of Georgia Orthodox Mission. It's a bit of a mouthful, which is why we usually just refer to ourselves as St. John's, but we hold St. Nina dear. We got the long name because we are a merger of two missions, in fact, and we actually are privileged to have two of the members of that original St. Nina's mission here in our midst. Welcome home, Mark. So in honor of our, as we sometimes say, our winter patron saint, St. Nina, I wanted to tell you a bit about the story of St. Nina and to talk about, in that context, about Orthodox evangelism. The story of St. Nina is a particularly fascinating one for a student of history like myself, because it's one of those many-layered documents that comes to us from multiple sources, and it's not just as clear as, well, the oldest and most reliable sources say this. But what I'm going to do is give you a very short, brief, cut-down version that really focuses on what is established by all of the sources about St. Nina's. And the reason for I want to give you the cut-down version is not because I don't think the expanded version is also worth listening to, but because I think that cut-down version actually gives us three things to focus on for as we consider Orthodox evangelism and what it is and how and why we do it. St. Nina was a young girl who arrived in the nation of Georgia in very humble, extreme circumstances. Like, humble in the extreme. Some accounts suggest that she was there as a captive, as a slave. Others suggest that she was there deliberately as a missionary. She was going there. And of course, they don't think the two are necessarily irreconcilable, because even the account that says that she was going there deliberately has her arriving in very poverty-stricken, humble circumstances. She lives in or around a gardener's hut. And she's coming in these humble circumstances and simply living out her life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And as she's doing so, there was apparently a custom in the land where if a child got sick, they would bring the child around to the various women that they knew, because the women were the repositories of that kind of knowledge, and ask them for a remedy. And so one couple's child got sick, and they brought her to St. Nina, and St. Nina simply put her hair cloak over the child and prayed for him, and he got better. Well, news of this spread, and lots of people then started coming to St. Nina and asking for her prayers when they got sick, and very often she would pray for them and they would get better. And then eventually the queen got sick. The queen of the nation of Georgia fell ill, and somebody mentioned to her St. Nina. So they bring the queen to St. Nina, or possibly St. Nina to the queen, and she basically just does the same thing. Puts her hair cloak over the queen, prays, and she gets better. Well, naturally, the royal family want to shower St. Nina with gifts, and she refuses them all, because she says, I didn't make her better. Jesus did, the Son of the Most High God, who created heaven and earth. And that's really about the extent of her message, at least in terms of what's been transmitted down to us. The queen, seeing that all of their gifts were being refused, and obviously moved by the fact that it was Jesus, the Son of the Most High God, who had healed her, decides to worship Jesus. That's the only thing that they can do for this Nina who has saved her and saved her life. And the king is not impressed, really doesn't like this idea. He's out hunting, possibly plotting all sorts of nasty things against the queen, his wife, and all of the others who are following this this new teaching. And something happens. The gist of it is he gets lost. He might have gotten lost in the mist, or there might have been a great darkness, but he's lost and frightened. And alone. And in his fear, he calls out and says, "O God, who Nina serves, save me." And immediately the mist or the darkness or whatever it was clears, he finds his way back, and he is true to his promise. He converts to Christianity. And he and eventually the entire nation of Georgia are won over to the gospel. So Saint Nina then becomes Saint Nina, the enlightener of Georgia, equal to the apostles. As I say, I think we can learn three things about Orthodox evangelism from the story of Saint Nina. The first is, and possibly the most important, I don't know, it's hard to rate them. The first is, the gospel has to come in absolute humility. It is not our job to save anyone. That's God's job. So don't take God's job away from him and think you can do it better than he can. The gospel comes in humility even when the gospel comes initially. We've just celebrated the Nativity. How does Christ come? He doesn't come with fanfare, in glory. He comes in blood, born as a helpless infant, laid in a manger. The gospel comes in absolute humility. If we keep this in mind, then we know that we are just beggars telling other beggars where we've found bread. We know that it's not our job to save anybody. Paul himself says, as he's talks to the Corinthians about how he came. He says, "We came not with powerful words to persuade you. We came in humility, but with a demonstration of the gospel's power." And this is the second thing that we can get out of the story of Saint Nina. Saint Nina, when she arrives in Georgia, lives simply, lives humbly, but is faithful. She's faithfully praying. She is faithfully doing whatever it is that God has given her to do. And when they bring her someone who is sick, she does what she continues to do, what she's been doing all along. She prays for them. That's it. Real simple. In fact, we see this again in the writings of the apostle. He says, "Inasmuch as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Our job is actually really, really simple. Stay faithful. Pray. Pray for everyone. Pray for the whole world. And as you have opportunity, as God gives you opportunity, do good to everybody who comes across your path, especially to those who are the household of faith. But that doesn't negate the everybody. And as we do this, That is how God manifests his power here in the world. That is how God works in and through us. And finally, I think the last bit of the story with the king shows us a couple of things. First, we can expect opposition. People don't like change. The gospel is all about change. It's about repentance, about metanoia, the changing of one's mind. And people don't like it. It makes them feel uncomfortable. It makes them feel pressure. Even if we take all the pressure off, they still feel the pressure. And so there's this hostility that we encounter. But it's important to remember that even in the face of that hostility, they are not the enemy. The king may, on some level, have seemed like the enemy. But he wasn't. He was just as lost and as alone and as afraid as everyone else. And this is why we do it. This is why we proclaim the gospel. This is why we share where we have found bread, because we were lost and alone and afraid too. And in that darkness, where we could not see any meaning, any ultimate reality, any connection that was worth saving or continuing on with, Christ came. He illumines our darkness. He shows us that death is not the end. He shows us that these connections that we have are life-giving. He is at work in those connections that we have, with the connections of love that define us and that shape us and that give life meaning, and that he will not allow those connections to perish, because the kingdom of heaven is all about those connections. It's all about that, those relationships. It's all about love. That's exactly what we need in order to realize we are not alone, and to have our path home illumined. So the encouraging thing for us is that I think winning an entire country over to the gospel is actually pretty easy. Well, okay, maybe not easy. Pretty simple. All it really requires of us is that we be faithful, that we pray, that we do good to all as we have the opportunity to, you, so that Christ can show himself alive and at work in us and in those relationships. That we understand that those who are lost and lonely and afraid, who oppose us, are not the enemy. They are the mission field. They are the ones who need the gospel just as we needed it. And as we do this, and as we are faithful, God will use us to transform all those around us, and will work in us to save us to his glory. The glory of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.